This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
You got big plans for the Labor Day weekend holiday. You're kind of moving into the new house, right? So that's taking up most of your time.
We've got another move day on Saturday. They just never end, Mark.
I know, but you're going to have nice weather.
Yeah, and, that's a huge deal.
Listening to Dave Murray's forecast, I've had the, as I think many people have had, the air conditioning on for the last couple of days. So I got home last night, and it was 78 in the house, which under ordinarily, you know, circumstances, that'd be pretty warm. And if it was a month ago, I'd say, oh, we got to pop the air on. Because I knew under most circumstances that 78 is not going to go down very quickly. But with the nice cool temperatures in the evening.
And the breeze a little bit.
So soon enough, it was 75,
love,
and then it was 71, and then I think it was 69 when I opened up, you know, the, not opened up the windows were open. When I got up this morning, it was very comfortable. Now, we're going to visit with David Strom, who's associate editor of hotair.com in Minneapolis, where if we're having temperatures like this, it's probably like sub-zero up there right now in Minneapolis, wouldn't it be?
No, actually, the weather, I mean, here we are late August, and the weather has been extremely pleasant, although we too have a little bit of a humidity problem. But
no,
still.
For us too. Look, we had a, I don't know about the rest of your summer, but we had a brutal July. It was really, and I'd say June was pretty hot and sticky too in the beginning of August, but the last 10 days have been like amazing.
Yes.
Well, let's just hope that the climate changes in this direction.
Right, exactly. It is weird though, because there's like trees losing leaves already.
Oh, yeah.
And this is typically, this is unusual because I would say, Sue, this is more like mid or late September as opposed to late August. And, you know, you usually, this is the last weekend for the pools. You would still be typically in the 90s and have humidity, and you're not going to really have that. But we're going to welcome it, David. I think it's good for some nice weather to get out, to walk around, to get out. I want to do some more things outdoors, and I have a new puppy that I got a few months ago, so the heat keeps me from doing some of those things. You've had a bit of news activity in your neck of the woods in Minneapolis, haven't you?
Yes. Well, I mean, demons walk among us. First, it was a bunch of Democrat National Committee people, and unfortunately, we also had the Trentifa killing that took place here, and that was, I mean, it's horrific, and our politicians are telling us not to pray for the souls of kids, and it's just bizarre.
I believe that you just used the word Trantifa, didn't you?
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah, well, it's a neologism by Andy Ngo, who is a...
Yeah, I know him.
Guy who, I mean, he's just a brilliant reporter out on the West Coast, covers Portland and Seattle mainly, the transgender and Antifa crowd. Absolutely hate him. I mean, they physically assaulted him, but he began to notice that most of the people getting arrested in these Antifa demonstrations where they're attacking people and burning things down actually are transgender activists. You know, there's this connection between these nihilists, the people who just want to tear everything down, and queer ideology. I mean, it's how you get bizarre things like Queers for Palestine, because what unites them is not what you and I tend to think about, which is, you know, just sort of basic stuff, you know. You know, if you're for gay rights, you're not for, you know, Iran and Hamas and all those people. But for them, what unites it is they feel like everyone is a victim of Western culture that has to be destroyed. And so they see it as a unified struggle. And in fact, some of them say the Palestinian struggle is the struggle of all queer communities.
It's ridiculous. That's laughable, isn't it? It's just unbelievably ridiculous. Over the past 4 or 5 years in particular, I have really gone on this offensive of being against the people who are the so-called experts, because it has been my opinion, I think this is very evident from COVID, that the people who claim to be experts are the ones perhaps we should trust the least. And you sort of said something along these lines in one of your recent columns on hotair.com. You said, I'm so tired of people whose first impulse is to quote experts rather than facts, because the experts get it wrong a lot, whether it's Trump on the economy and the tariffs and, you know, some of these other things that are health related or vaccine related. They get it wrong a lot. But the legacy media goes to the experts and they trust them time and time again, David.
Yes, well, I mean, really, when they say experts, I mean, there is such a category of people as experts, people who've dived into issues with a desire to understand everything. But when you see an expert on TV, what makes them an expert is not knowing a lot of stuff and understanding it, but rather being part of an establishment, the credentialed establishment that has unified around a narrative. And so, and you have the same problem in peer review now in science, where rather than getting people to do genuine inquiry into things, you get sort of forced into, a narrative. You have to say things that the people who are going to review your stuff like. So the experts today, you wind up with what we had through COVID was, I mean, literally some of these people would sit around in a room and say, what do you think of this? And it's like, well, that sounds kind of good. Well, let's tell everyone this is science. And then they all go out with a unified voice. And so when you hear expert these days, you really ought to put in authority. That's what it really is. The authorities who have decided on, one ideological line.
It used to be a principle of journalism to challenge authority,
yep.
Right? To challenge the experts, to find out if the experts are really telling the truth. That's way, way gone off the, you know, journalistic radar at this point. They don't really care about that at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, the joke among journalists used to be that the first thing their editor ever told them was that if your mother says she loves you, check it out.
yeah, exactly.
don't just trust, verify. And the opposite is true now. I mean, the media is a stenographer for not just, you know, people in government, but certain people in government. There's a narrative that has to be pushed. And so, and it's not just government, obviously, just the entire establishment. And so, and there's this bizarre cooperation where the establishment all coalesces around something and they unify. And then the media then amplifies it. And a perfect example of that is before COVID, the American Academy of Pediatrics, had very clear guidelines that said make sure that your children can, watch your mouth as you're talking to them, because they associate the sounds and your lip movements and your facial expressions and all of those things work together. As soon as COVID hit, they literally just overnight changed and said masks will have no impact on language learning, which is just false. I mean, we know that.
Because, right.
but they did that because that was the establishment line. And yet the media would go, and ask the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they would use their authority to push not what the science actually said, but what the line was.
Such a great point, and it happened time and time again. By the way, I just have to insert this on the COVID front, and I'm sorry to interrupt. I go to, as you do, I'm sure, go to a lot of sources throughout the course of the day, and I like the LA Times, actually. I pay money for the LA Times. I like some of the reporting that they do. But honest to God, David, for 3 days in a row, I tracked it again today, for 3 days in a row on the front of the website, the first two were at the top of the website. The one today was a little bit lower. They were talking about COVID ramping up in California. Yeah. But if you read it, and if you go down into the, in one of the stories, it was literally the last paragraph, which, you know, should not surprise people. They talked about how the numbers and the hospitalization numbers and the death, all of far lower than last summer, but they're still 3 days in a row putting COVID scare tactics in August of 2025 at the top of the website of the LA Times. I mean, you can't make that up.
No, and it really is, and I didn't used to like this term, but the evidence just says it's a psychological operation. And, you know, some of that evidence is, particularly in Great Britain, they actually deployed army psychological operations people. They developed something that they literally called Project Fear, and they all their messaging really was about getting people scared so that they would comply. Now, we can have an argument about whether, this is the best way to mobilize people. But the bottom line is they lied. They knowingly lied. It was a strategy to lie, to scare people, to make them do what the government wanted. And it's the same thing with climate change. It's the same thing on any major issue out there, particularly if it's associated with, money or a political agenda. And so, I don't want to say that everything you read is a lie, because that's not true, but you should always verify things, always look. I mean, we see this with the shooting. I wrote about this within 15 minutes, most people had seen the videos, the pictures of the guns, kill Trump, the trans stuff. I knew more about this killer in 15 minutes than I ever learned about Thomas Crook.
Well, that's a very good point. Yeah. How about that? Yes.
But the media people, the New York Times, CNN, all the major media outlets are saying it's a total mystery why this happened. It's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
They are pushing a line. If the guy got up and said, which he basically did, I'm doing this because I hate Christians. I mean, the guy had a target with Jesus Christ on it. He wrote about how he hated God, and, he wrote about, his desire to kill Christians and, it was related to his transgender stuff, but it didn't fit the narrative. So they just lie. They coalesce around a narrative and push it.
I believe there was a story from Minneapolis. I can't remember what it was. There was a guy, what was his name? George Floyd. Oh, yeah, George Floyd. Something happened similar with that story, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you keep on going. I mean, almost every, sort of racial hoax out there, or, the cop shooting innocent person, you get the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the picture of the kid at 14, not at 18. You know, you hear about how he's an A student and never got into it. It's all lies. It's the Jussie Smollett effect. I mean, you remember what we went through? I mean, how much propaganda was pushed out at us when every normal person who heard the Jussie Smollett story said, well, that's a lie. You know?
Yeah, and you see that he's trying to make a bit of a comeback right now. I have not watched this yet, but I do have it on my, you know, my list of possibles that because we had Gloria Rodriguez on a week ago. She was the attorney for the Osundari brothers. Gloria's fantastic, David, and she did a documentary on Fox Nation about the whole thing, which is really, really good. So now Netflix has this out, and it features, you know, him being interviewed. I'm only encouraged because that has not gotten a lot of publicity. There have been, like, Variety magazine did a story about it, but he hasn't been given a lot of attention, which maybe is a little concerning. But look, there are people that still think that, you know, it's the MAGA crowd that did that he's, you know, he's the victim. Same people who think that Mike Brown here in St. Louis was shot with his hands up saying, don't shoot. I mean, they don't want to believe the truth. These people, some of them still believe OJ, you know, was not guilty. And that's another baffling thing. A couple other topics I wanted to get to with you. You wrote about Cracker Barrel. I was in the camp that didn't really understand why this story took off as much as it did. But it did. And then, of course, they do a reverse course a couple of days ago. I had Azra Namani on yesterday. I love Azra. She's a regular guest. And I did find it, and I know you wrote about this, David, very interesting, the angle that involved, in fact, the Wall Street Journal did a report about this today. Azra was ahead of the curve. Sardar Biglari, who's a guy who owns Steak and Shake, and the way that the official Steak and Shake Twitter account went really hard against Cracker Barrel. And I was so confused about it because Steak and Shake's relatively popular here in St. Louis. And I'm like, why is that account getting so aggressive? Well, it was because of this guy. And this guy's been, you know, kind of lecturing the board here for a year and a half saying, you're going to screw this up. You're going to screw this up. And he was vindicated.
Well, yeah. I mean, as a cultural moment, you know, except for the controversy, you could have just said, well, this was a stupid business move. Which is why you can easily create the narrative that it was dumb for people to get upset. But the reason why it took off is people are now extremely sensitive about this because they've been insulted time and time and time again by companies that basically say, we'd like to upgrade our customers. We think that you are bad people. And so we want to completely reframe. I mean, this is the Bud Light thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And so people, you know, what would have been 5 years ago, a story that was, boy, they made a, you know, that was a really bonehead move, you know, becomes a cultural touchstone because it's just like, oh, again, they have done this. You know, I mean, let's face it. Most people who go to Cracker Barrel are, you know, not upscale, you know, mainstream media types, intellectuals. You aren't going to see a lot of college professors there.
Probably they're, not.
You know, I mean, they're middle class, working class people, you know, and for them, going into Cracker Barrel is kind of a nostalgia for an America where they've felt more comfortable, you know, one that was more recognizing them and who they are.
And I think that's what I missed at first with the connection and why people got so bent out of shape. But it was interesting that, you know, they did such a well, I don't know if it was a quick about face, but it was a pretty quick about face going in the other direction. I'm also very curious to see what the numbers are like moving forward. Because obviously, I mean, look, there are realistic challenges that the restaurant chain has with customers and losing revenue. I think a lot of restaurant chains are dealing with the same thing. So that was part of it. It wasn't completely misguided. I just think they obviously misjudged the reaction on the logo, which, by the way, didn't even make sense. Like, it wasn't that dramatic of a different logo. It was just taking the old dude out and the barrel. But I still think they're doing and they're spending money on these renovations and making the insides of the restaurants different. That might not play well with the clientele either. So we'll have to see. Hey, one more topic. Do you still have the DNC up there in Minneapolis? I know they started a meeting earlier this week. Is it still going on?
Well, they adjourned after the shooting. I don't know if they're going to unadjourn or not. I mean, it really, it was a horrible contrast, first of all, for them, because they featured a lot of transgender stuff. They had the land acknowledgement. It was uber woke. We're in a state where, our lieutenant governor wears a shirt basically threatening anyone who doesn't, approve of trans and kids, and we're a transgender sanctuary state. Our governor is very upfront about this and made a big statement again about how evil MAGA is not wanting to trans kids. And I think that they're very sensitive about this. They're on a back foot on this issue.
Well, they should be. They should be. That was wise if they put the whole conference on hold, for sure. David Strom from hotair.com. Always great to have you on. You have a great holiday weekend, David. Well, the news cycle is so crowded. There are stories that sometimes I don't get to cover, and I wanted to throw something in here this afternoon about John Bolton, because when the FBI arrived at John Bolton's house a couple of days ago to do a search, there were a lot of people that hated Trump that were talking about revenge, retribution, Trump being authoritarian, the fall of democracy, all these things that we hear on a regular basis. But the New York Times had to do a little backpedal last night, because as it turns out, and there's a lot of questions that would go hand in hand with this, not the least of which why the Biden administration didn't try to pursue this. But it looks like the FBI had a pretty good reason to reopen a probe into John Bolton after the Biden Department of Justice shut down an initial investigation. So a mole working from an unidentified spy agency provided evidence, this is according to Ed Morrissey, that Bolton had used unclassified systems to transmit classified data, mainly as a means to gather material for a book that he wrote. So what the New York Times said is the United States gathered data from an adversarial country's spy service, including emails with sensitive information that Mr. Bolton, while still working in the first Trump administration, appeared to have sent people close to him on an unclassified system, the people said, speaking on the condition of anonymity. The investigation of Mr. Bolton, who has become an ardent critic of the president, burst back into public view last week when federal agents searched his Maryland home and Washington office. While those questions, or rather those searches, have raised fresh questions about the extent to which Mr. Trump may be using the Justice Department and the FBI to try to punish those he dislikes, that's the narrative, of course, the new details of the case present a more complex chain of events. Let me kind of redo that last line here for you here. The new details reveal that we should have been doing better reporting on this from the beginning, because they suggest that a long-running investigation, again, that was killed by Biden's administration, into Bolton's activities changed over time, because they had, according to the people that were sent by Mr. Bolton in some emails, they appeared to derive from a classified document that he had seen when he was National Security Advisor. So he apparently, this is what they're looking into, sent messages to people close to him who were helping him gather material that would be used in the book called The Room Where It Happened. So then you get the search warrant a week ago. The FBI has jurisdiction over domestic counterintelligence, needed to validate the intel provided by the mole in question. So what they were doing is they were searching his home. This had nothing to do with revenge or Trump or anything like that. Trump said he didn't really even know about it, probably because he didn't know about it. A lot of people were wondering, well, that can't be true. He's going to know about this. But they were trying to figure out if the mole, the source here, provided material that matched what was in Bolton's possession. If so, that would obviously strengthen the case that he violated laws that cover the handling of classified and sensitive material. Now, this has happened in our past with presidential candidates, right? This was essentially what happened with Hillary Clinton and Jim Comey back in 2016 that got short-circuited by Loretta Lynch in the Justice Department, and there was no, moving forward with any charges. Then you had the Biden DOJ trying to prosecute Trump for the same damn thing. And we know what happened there because Merrick Garland had to appoint a special counsel because it then became known that Joe Biden hoarded classified material at his house. And then you remember the names here. This all kind of comes together. It was Robert Hur who was the special counsel. And remember why he didn't prosecute Biden? Well, because he was a feeble old man suffering from dementia. And we know that because of the transcripts and then the recordings of the deposition that were finally released a few months ago. So that brings us to the question at hand. There's no issue right now, or there shouldn't be an issue, why the Trump DOJ is taking an interest in this case. The new intelligence justifies that interest for this investigation. But the question, Ed Morrissey kind of raised this question, is why did the Biden-era DOJ and Merrick Garland, speaking of a feeble old man, I mean, we don't talk about that guy being gone enough because he was such an idiot. Why did they drop that when it appears that he did mishandle classified material as well? And we're going to know about that hopefully soon.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Oh, I'm gathering all kinds of good audio as it accumulates here this afternoon, Sue, for Audio Cut of the Day.
Love it.
We have that feature right before the show ends, of course, here in a couple of minutes. Fred just snagged some audio that I sent him that might be a good fit for that. You know, you see, sometimes I decide like right from the beginning, and I do have some audio from earlier today that may qualify, but every once in a while, it's like a horse in the Kentucky Derby who is coming around that last turn and is a closer and comes in and finishes just by a nose. We have audio that fits that every once in a while, and I think we're going to have that today. I do want to mention tomorrow's show. Friday is always a lot of fun here on the show. Ethan's out for a couple of days, so we got that going for us, but we have a roundtable. If I can grab my information here so I can read the information accurately. Jane Duker will be on that panel tomorrow. Also, a couple other veterans. State Rep Steve Butts will be here. David Barklage, GOP consultant. Paul Hall will join us after Sue's News in the 4 o'clock hour with some entertainment recommendations, both streaming and in the theaters. Cusimano will weigh in with sports. Cardinals won today. They had a day game, and they split the series with the Pirates. Our friend Tim Summer, we love talking music with Tim. He's going to be with us tomorrow. You know, there was an interesting story I found a couple of weeks ago about the Black Keys. I'm a fan of the Black Keys. They have a new album out. They were supposed to go on tour a year and a half ago, a couple of years ago, and they canceled like at the last minute. It was kind of weird the way it went down. But they went back into the studio. They did a new album, and they are taking a stand, a very public stand, about the way that musicians are being compensated on the streaming services. And so it's a little bit of an inside politics music business story, which Tim is great on because that's what he's been doing his entire life. So that's one of the topics. When we spoke with Tim the last time, he had not watched the Billy Joel documentary. I still haven't watched part two.
Oh, it's so great.
So I think he has. Maybe between tonight and tomorrow, maybe tomorrow morning, I'll try to squeeze that in.
I would.
So we can talk about it. Yeah. The problem
is
I'm looking for a time, and this is probably not going to be realistic, where I can watch the whole damn thing, but it's like 2 hours plus.
It is.
It's long. Both parts are 2 hours.
But totally worth it.
I know. And it's definitely on my... Oh, and the Devo thing, too. I want to watch the Devo documentary.
I forgot to write that down.
That one is on Netflix. Let's talk a little real estate this afternoon and see where the market in St. Louis is and what's happening. Our friend Mark Gelman with the Gelman Team. Hello, Mark Gelman. How are you? I hope all is well.
What's up, buddy? It's so good to hear your voice again. So I'm so glad you're back. And, you know, I thought you were going to tease me when you were, like, talking about the Kentucky Derby, where, like, the closer. I thought that was my intro.
Oh, that's just like Mark Gelman, the closer. Sorry, I missed my opportunity there. But we always do like to have you on talking about real estate. By the way, I appreciate it. I was supposed to get out to breakfast with you and our mutual friend John Lynch a couple weeks ago and couldn't make it work. But I'm up for that in the future. We do need to get down and sit down at lunch or something like that because we haven't done that in a little while. But I always like to take the temperature of one of the Gelmans here on the real estate market as we, you know, we did this at the beginning of the summer, Mark. Maybe Neil join me. Let's do it here at the end of summer as there are homes that are, you know, still on the market that haven't sold. There are homes that are going very, very quickly. I know you have amazing success stories. How would you describe the climate kind of heading into the fall here?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting market. I think that homes that are priced right, prepared for sale, I mean, market is the highest level. We're still seeing activity. We're still seeing those sell. The biggest challenge we have right now is unrealistic sellers, just to be very transparent.
Really?
Sellers, and I don't care who your agent is, as long as they're qualified and they give you good data, listen to them. And the reason you need to listen to them is we're all emotional. Sellers are all emotional. But at the end of the day, this is a data-driven market, and you have to price right. We're seeing these homes that are overpriced, even if they're a great home, overpriced, and having to take 1, 2, 3 price adjustments and not even moving the needle. So it's really an interesting, great home selling, some over asking, multiple offers, but others just sitting. Buyers are gaining a little traction, so they have opportunities to write contingencies. Some are even getting contingent on home sales. So, you know, the interest rates we still haven't seen yet. I'm hoping in the fourth quarter, we're going to see some changes. But, you know, the interest rates aren't moving the market. And I'm not even sure if they drop a quarter or a half, they're going to significantly.
So with the unrealistic expectations, is it a seller that just says, look, I know that the supply is very, very tight. We've heard this for years. I should be able to get more money, and I don't really have to do anything to fix up my house because houses are selling over market price. That's what I've heard. Is that the type of attitude that people come in with, or is it an unwillingness to stage the home or make it look different or something along those lines, or is it a combination deal?
Yeah, so I think you're spot on. It's a combination. The other thing we saw is we saw people buying in a really hot market just a few years ago when they were buying, you know, with no inspections or limited inspections. And we're hearing now, well, when I bought, I didn't do X, Y, and Z, and now they're unreal. You know, buyers want X, Y, and Z done. It's just a massive disconnect between buyers and sellers. An interesting thing to note right now is it's the highest amount of fallout on contracts that it's been in the history. So you're looking at over 20-something percent. 10 homes go on the market, 2 will...
Oop, we lost him there.
Oh, hope he comes back.
I know. I wanted to hear what he said there. That was one of those things.
Well,
where
fall through. I know what he was saying.
He was going to say fall
through.
Back. I know. And it was, you could tell it was one of those things where you're going to hear that bloomp. We'll see if he calls back or if we can get him back on the line. I hate it when it was happening. I was just about to ask him to clarify something and qualify something, and then he cut off. And I do not see an effort out there. Sue, can
you see? There's effort.
Okay, there's effort.
There's
I just want to make sure, because one of the disadvantages we have here in this studio is I don't have line of sight with the producer, and Ethan's not here today, so I sometimes don't know. Here, I think Mark is calling in, and we can see if we can get him. Let's see here. Sorry for the awkwardness.
Sorry.
This is live radio. Sometimes this happens, unfortunately, but you can kind of pick up where he left off if you remember what he was saying. Let's see. You just hung up on us. I don't know what happened there, Gilman.
Well,
are you back?
Does he get him? Did he
what
get
happened?
Him?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
There he is.
You were making a brilliant point, and I was about to follow up with a question. You remember
20%.
What you're... Okay, yeah, the 20% deal. Go ahead.
Sure, it's just so 20% of contracts are falling out of contract, and it's really just a disconnect between buyers and sellers right now. Unrealistic expectations of sellers, but then we're hearing the buyers that here know that the market, they read the Business Journal today that says, you know, buyers are gaining the upper hand in certain areas. Well, now the buyers think they have the upper hand, and they're asking for, you know, the everything on these inspections. So it's a disconnect right now between buyers and sellers. We're in a really interesting, goofy market.
So when you say you don't really see, because obviously the Fed is about to, we think, lower rates in September, that has, there's an indirect correlation. It's not a direct correlation on mortgage rates, but you don't think if Jay Powell moves the needle on some of this stuff and rates settle down just a little bit, that will spur a whole lot more in the market? You think it's going to stay this way for a while is what I'm hearing.
And by the way, great analysis, because it actually, right, as you suggest, it doesn't have a direct correlation. The Fed, their movement's going to impact car rates, commercial, and it's going to, you know, impact just overall credit cards and that. Whereas we're working off of the 10-year Treasury, which still moves on, the news of what's happening. So if the Fed's going to change, then that news signals bad news, and it's going to move the mortgage rates. But at the end of the day, there's these statistics. 1 million more buyers will get into the market if interest rates drop 1%.
Yeah.
However, 0.25%, 0.5% is not going to motivate somebody to sell their home that isn't at 2.5% to 3%. Mm-hmm. There are sellers right now that want to get out of their homes. There's buyers that would be perfect buyers. But the problem is, where am I going to go if I have a 2.5% interest rate?
I
can't even rent for that. I can't do X, Y, or Z. So the market in general is jammed up by that. It's not really as much as buyers. You know, there's this talk with the interest rates lower. We need to do that for buyers. Well, right now, there's not enough homes for those buyers unless they want to overpay.
See, that's kind of an important point, because like if you could wave a magic wand, I know this isn't economically realistic or otherwise, but if you could say, all right, we're putting mortgage rates down to 3.5 or let's just say 4%, because you got a lot of people out there that would want to move, and then you spur the rest of the economy with washers and dryers and everything else. The problem is there's not enough homes everywhere I look. You know where I live out in the Fenton High Ridge area. Everywhere I look that's got just a little bit of land where they can tear down trees, they're building new houses.
Absolutely. And by the way, and I just was with the coaching client who's in Myrtle Beach. We were running these statistics. I mean, what's happened in that market is new construction is outperforming. It's competing with existing homes, but those builders are dropping prices. Mm. So it's actually outselling. The problem we're having in a St. Charles, for example, if somebody wants to resell an existing subdivision, it's just a little bit different because of prices. They're competing with new construction. So the whole new construction dynamic is a really interesting dynamic for existing homes that are very similar. If those builders want those sold, they can drop the prices.
Mark Gelman is here from the Gelman team. A couple of years ago, go back maybe even 3 or 4 years, we were having discussions about institutional investors that were coming in and buying, you know, a good portion of neighborhoods. There's even municipalities, and I don't know if statewide laws have been passed to say, no, we're going to prevent this. But is there still that activity, or has the interest rates affected that part of the market as well when you have foreign buyers coming in? Because you mentioned Florida. That was a big part of the Florida real estate picture for a while, if I remember correctly.
Absolutely. So there was this whole institutional, it's called SFR, which is single family rentals. Single family rentals was a very sexy category. There still is some strength in it, but here's the thing. Buying those at today's interest rates, I mean, again, in the capital markets being where they are today, we are definitely seeing a softness in that right now because rents aren't going up proportionally to what the cost of money has gone up. Now, we do hear about inflation or whatever that is, but we're just not seeing the returns that they can get on it like they were 2 and 3 years ago. Keep in mind, the prices from 2 to 3 years ago, that's the interesting thing, Mark. Everything I'm telling you today about interest rates, inventory. Yes, inventory is climbing, but prices are going up. Year over year, sales are going down, unit sales, but prices continue to go up in our market, which is unique.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, it's not working. The institutional investor, especially in St. Louis, has slowed significantly. The other thing is the municipalities just do not want them. So the rules, the HOAs changing their rules. There are institutional investors that bought 2 years ago that were not grandfathered into the new HOAs where no longer can they rent.
I believe that. Mark Gelman, always great to catch up with you. Let's do it in person soon. I appreciate it. You know, Fred and I, the Hall of Famer, of course, here in the building and on this show.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, we were just kind of going over some things for next week, and I was talking about Monday's show, and he corrected me very quickly. No. Tuesday's show, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
We get the holiday. We have, you know, we do a best of, and quite candidly, I'm just being serious here, we try to pick segments that are really good, that I feel, that Ethan feels, and Fred feels, and Sue feels are good for, you know, repeats. And what I do is I save certain amount of things that are a little bit more, maybe they're musically oriented or entertainment, things that aren't as hard edge. I save those for the end of the year, like Christmas week and maybe Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving. But there's a lot of great conversations, including one we had with Scott Jennings last week or earlier this week when he was talking about the new show, which now airs at 8 p.m. So we have a great lineup for Monday. But yeah, we're not back in the studio until Tuesday. Let's do this afternoon.
Standby. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, I've allowed for a little more time for audio cut of the day because there's a bunch to kind of cram in here. And unfortunately, a lot of it is surrounding the shooting in Minneapolis, where there's still a lot of questions about what happened. And here, let me just play this because I think this is cool. I hope we hear more about this because there's all kinds of stories that are sort of emerging in the aftermath of this, like this angle.
What happened in those doors? Stories will be told, the heroics of the parents, the dads that were there securing the doors at the perimeter, the principal and the priests that were running around, irrespective of gunfire, heads up, not ducking.
Bunch of dads go in there, and they're trying to get things done. And, you know, in this particular situation, the cops did everything right. There really was a great response. I heard some of the kids talking about it because they, and, you know, maybe I should replay the 10-year-old kid. They do their, and this is so sad that you have to do this, and I know my daughter goes through this. You know, we used to do tornado drills when we were a kid.
Yeah,
or maybe
we did.
You did earthquake drills or something like that. Or if you go back into the 60s, you did the nuclear drills. But in this case, the one kid, I heard one kid talking about how when they do that, they do it in the classroom, right, not in the church itself.
Oh, yeah.
So the protocols were very, very different. But I couldn't help but notice this on CNN because they're really struggling on the trans issue here.
Police have identified the gunman as a 23-year-old man with no prior criminal history.
His background, his writings or videos.
He had some connection to the school at one point?
Right. Yes, there was some connection. Either he went to the school.
He went to that school and his mom also worked there.
Why a school that he attended where his mother worked?
He knew this area. This individual knew this area, knew the grounds.
In his personal despair and fascination with mass violence, is really in the manifesto his justification for mass violence.
It's not really clear exactly what drove him to snap at the moment that he did.
How interested that he was in other shooters and how he copycatted from them. He wove that all into his own crime. So he was pretty familiar with these shooters. That tells me that he probably was immersed.
The shooter had identified as a female, changed their name legally from Robert to Robin in 2020. That's what we know about him personally.
It appears, based on our reporting, that he had ties, or that the assailant had ties
They went there.
See, they all were on the right page until they started realizing, and the New York Times did this. Oh, we got to be careful. We can't call him. Who was it at the end, Fred? Do you even know?
I don't know.
She said he, and then into she, and then into they, them. Yeah. Right there, all in the same.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.